blessing to be here tonight with you guys, and just to see all of you that have willingly come and given up, maybe not willingly, but at least you're here, come and given up of your Tuesday night. And as we look together in God's Word, and you know what, guys, this is such an important thing for each one of us, and such an important study that we are going through as we look at the life, the ministry, the prophecies of Daniel, and how important they are to not only our understanding of what was going on at the time, but even of the future. Daniel's kind of our guide to the book of Revelation, and it's what we use and can rely on that really help us to make sense of Revelation. And as we're going through that with Pastor John, it's so appropriate that we spend this time as men in the book of Daniel. So with that, why don't we open up to Daniel chapter 1, verse 9. Daniel chapter 1, verse 9. And I think what we'll do is we'll start reading where Pastor Rick left off last week with verse 8. Says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies as you see fit. So deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this manner and tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of the delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them. And among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king. And on all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. Let's pray. Father God, as we come before you, Father, we thank you for your presence here. We know, Lord, that all we need is you. All we need is your presence, your Holy Spirit moving and working within us. But Lord, we're also aware that we have a part to play. And so, Lord, I pray that you would search our hearts, each one of us tonight. That you would see if there be any wicked way in us and lead us in the way everlasting. That, Lord, we would do business with you. And that, Lord, you would show us your will and your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, probably my greatest fear is that we would look at the words of Daniel, the book of Daniel, and that we would classify him in a special category. And truly, Daniel is a special man. He's, matter of fact, one of the only men in the Bible where there's no sin mentioned of him. Not that he never sinned, but certainly it appears that his life was one that was not given over to sin, but truly was given over to holiness and following God with his whole heart. So that being said, it would be easy for us to say, well, you know, Daniel was a special guy. Daniel had a special calling and a special anointing from God. And that's not me. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a wise person that gives advice to anybody. So certainly the things that Daniel did is not expected of me. Certainly you won't expect me to purpose in my heart the way that Daniel did. Oh, sure, I'll try. I'll try my best. I'll try to do the things that I'm supposed to do. But really, let's be honest, is that even possible? I mean, for me, I just get to the point about only eating vegetables, and I'm like, forget it. You know, I mean, I've tried wrapping seaweed around a cucumber, and it just doesn't taste as good, you know? You need some meat in there. Although I did hear that Pastor Rick said that, you know, in honor of Daniel, that any of the barbecues that we have from now on, that there's not going to be any meat, you know. Well, there's at least one that's happy about that. I'm just kidding, by the way. But the truth is, Daniel wasn't anybody special. And it wasn't that he had such great faith, but it was that he had faith in a great God. I do believe that he had a special way of looking at things. And by special, I mean that it wasn't the common way that the world might look at them. I'm sure that he read the words of David. And in Psalm 141, in verse 3, David says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat their delicacies." This should be our prayer. This should be our heart and our attitude as men of God. I know that I would get along so much better at home if I just let the Lord set a guard over my mouth. There are so many times when you know, I'm involved in a passionate conversation with my wife, and God says, "What you're about to say, don't say." And I think, you know what? I deserve to say this. Because, you know, I'm right and she's wrong, and, you know, and I want her to know that. And I hear God again say, "Don't do it." And then when I do it, I realize how bad of a decision that was. We need God to put a guard over our mouth, to keep that watch over the door of our lips. And here's the important thing. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing. You know, again, it's not so much that Daniel was so strong or so special. It was that he trusted in a God who was strong. He trusted in a God who was sufficient. And you know, he had every reason not to. I mean, after all, he was a slave. He wasn't even in control of his own future. Chances are he was a eunuch. He had been brought out of his own country, his own land. He was no doubt, as a noble person, used to the best of everything, used to making his own decisions, used to ordering people around. And now he finds himself in the very opposite situation. Not only that, but Daniel was probably just a kid. I'm sure that Rick told you that we think that maybe he was somewhere around 15 years old. I mean, there's a lot of 15-year-olds that will stand for things, but they're not the right things. Yet here was a young man that despite everything that he was going through, chose to stand for the Lord. Chose to walk with God. And because of that, God blessed it. In Proverbs 16:7, it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies at peace with him. So God brought Daniel favor. Now, you know, as we read in the previous verses, Daniel had been given a new name, Belteshazzar, as were his companions. And yet, that is not who they were. But it's also interesting that Daniel didn't necessarily object to the new name. Probably because, you know, it was just a name. It didn't say anything about who he was and his character. What they called him didn't matter. What mattered is what he did. And so it is with us. What matters most is what we do, how we live our lives. When Daniel chose to follow God and God blessed him and he found favor and goodwill, that those words favor and goodwill literally mean mercy and compassion. That was an important thing too. Because, you know, as a slave, if you don't go along with the program, there's great risk. And the risk is they would just kill you. Okay, you don't want to eat the king's food. You don't want to drink his wine. Good, we're going to kill you. That's one less mouth we have to feed. There was that risk. And that was a real risk. And we know it was a real risk because we're going to see in a couple of verses that even the chief of the eunuchs said, I fear the Lord, my king, because if you don't look good, it's going to reflect on me and he's going to cut my head off. So why should I suffer and endanger my head for you? So Daniel said to the steward, he came up with a plan. It was a plan that had a lot of wisdom in it. And he said, why don't you test us just for 10 days? I mean, there's not a lot of risk there. And you know, if you see any negative change in us in 10 days, then we'll go and eat the things that you want us to eat. Now, the food that they were being offered, no doubt, was something that was pleasant to look at, was probably good to the taste. It was probably something that was the best of everything that Babylon had to offer. But it was symbolic. Not only of Babylon, but it had probably been offered to idols. And so there was so much of what went on in just them eating their meals that was involved in the worship of their pagan deities that Daniel and his companions couldn't take part in it. Not in all good conscience. So he says, give us 10 days. Compare us to the other men, and if we don't look any better, then we'll do what you say. So he consented, verse 14, and he tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. So this really was wisdom. Because at the end of the 10 days, as the chief eunuch looked at him, he goes, man, these guys look healthier than everyone else. And, you know, I've gone on, you know, my doctors have before have said, you know, we really like you to go on a vegetarian diet, you know, and I've tried this not biblical thing and everything else. And, you know, and they said, well, you know, it's just better for you. It's better for your diabetes. And, you know, and I did it. It worked. I lost weight. And so the fact that not only did they not lose weight, but it says they were fatter. And I thought, see, we work all this time to try and lose weight. And really, the Bible says we're supposed to be fatter. You know, we're doing it all wrong. But really what it meant is that they were healthy. They were healthy in appearance. And it was so apparent to the chief eunuch that he knew, okay, it has to be their God. It's not just it has to be the food, because that didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense that the food that they were eating would cause them to be healthier, to look healthier, to be fatter, to gain weight. That shouldn't be. And so the chief eunuch had to see. He had to know, hey, there's a difference here. There's something going on. And really, that is to be the focus. That God would get glory in everything that they say and that they do. Whenever we go through this life and we're faced with differing options, there is so much out there in the world, so much to distract us, so much that will tear us away from our focus on the Lord. And we have a choice. We have a choice to make as to whether we're going to give in to that or whether we're going to resist it. Daniel purposed in his heart. He wasn't going to defile himself. He wasn't going to give in to that. We need to pray that God will give us wisdom as we go through this life. In James chapter 3, verse 17, James talks about wisdom. He says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's how we know when the wisdom that we have is from God, is by the fruit that comes about from it. The fruit that came about from Daniel and his companions not being willing to be defiled is that God was glorified. Well, once that was over and they were able to continue to eat the things that God had called them to eat, to stay away from those things that would defile them, then they went through their training. But it says that God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And he also gave Daniel understanding in all visions and dreams. Some of us, maybe we've been to college, maybe we haven't been to college. Some of us maybe are starting off, you know, whatever point in life we might be at. And we like to take comfort or pride in the training that we have, or the education that we have, or where we went to school. And yet, we need to understand that any knowledge that we have that is of any eternal value can come only from God. And we need to pray that God will give us that wisdom and that God will give us knowledge and understanding so that we can walk this walk with power and with strength. God's blessing was so evident in their lives, in fact, that when the king Nebuchadnezzar interviewed them, in other words, there was a time when each one of them would appear before the king and he would question them. And he would do his best, I'm sure, to try and stump them to see, you know, how well they thought on their feet, to see whether they could answer his questions, to see how wise they were. And it says that in all matters of wisdom and understanding, he found them 10 times better. Literally, it means, that word better means hands. So, you know, it was like they were 10 hands more helpful than any of the other wise men that were in the king's court. And God continued to bless Daniel for his entire life. Daniel would stand firm. Daniel would stand against everything that Satan would throw at him. All the attacks, all the persecution, everything that we're going to see that Daniel was accused of, all was brought to nothing because of God. And so Daniel's ministry in the king's court spanned some 70 years. Now, at this point, you might be thinking, well, wait a minute. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the struggles that I have in this life. You don't know how much I've tried. You don't know that I've tried this and I've failed. And yeah, I'm here, but really, I just don't know if this is going to work. Are you telling me just to pull myself up by my own bootstraps? Are you telling me that I just need to be stronger? What is it that you're saying? How is this life of victory and fruitfulness even possible? There was a man by the name of Horatio Spafford. He lived in the 1800s. He was a contemporary, actually a friend of D.L. Moody. He had lived a very comfortable life until the Great Chicago Fire, when literally everything he had burned to the ground. In an effort to get his family away and to give especially his wife a time of rest, they decided to take a vacation to Europe. As they were preparing to board a steamship to cross the Atlantic, something came up that caused Horatio not to be able to go. And what he said is, he told his wife and his four daughters, you go on ahead, I'm going to stay, I'll take care of this, and then I'll follow right after you. And so his wife Anna and his four young daughters took off on a ship called the Ville du Havre. On November 21st, 1873, the Ville du Havre was struck amidship by another British sailing ship and sank in 12 minutes. All of Horatio Spafford's daughters drowned. Only his wife survived. They found her unconscious, floating on a piece of wreckage. The way that Horatio found out what happened is he received a telegram from his wife that had these words. saved alone, what shall I do? Immediately upon receiving this, Spafford boarded a ship to go and get his wife. As they crossed the Atlantic, the captain of the ship called him up, Horatio, up to the bridge. And he said, as best as we can tell, this is the spot where the Ville du Havre sank. In other words, this is where all four of your daughters drowned. I don't know about you, but I would have given up. I would have been tempted just to jump in. I would have said, Lord, what are you doing to me? How could you do this? I would have gone out on the bridge of that ship and shook my fist at God. But you know, he didn't do that. Instead, he penned the words of a hymn, and this is actually his writing. As they went over that spot in the sea. And these are the words he penned. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend, a song in the night, O my soul. Later on, he added this verse, for me be it Christ hence to live, if Jordan above me shall roll, no pang shall be mine, for in death as in life, thou shalt whisper thy peace to my soul. How does that happen? It's only God. Horatio Spafford's no stronger than any one of us. Daniel's no stronger than any one of us. It is not our great faith that matters. It's our faith in a great God. That's the key here, guys. Who are we putting our trust in? Do you know what Christ has done? It cost him everything. He gave his life for you and for me, so that our sins would be blotted out. So that sin no longer had dominion or control, so that we were no longer in bondage to any sin. There is no sin that as a child of God that we're in bondage to or helpless against. For it is God who is at work in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. It's all God. And yet, we still need to purpose in our heart. So I'm going to ask Brian to come back up right now, and I want to sing Horatio Spafford's hymn. And I want you to think about it. And I want to ask you, men, tonight, if you would purpose in your heart to trust the God of Horatio Spafford, if you would purpose in your heart to trust the God of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, if you would purpose in your heart to follow Christ with all that you are. Let's leave it all here, guys. Let's leave it all here. Let's give it to Jesus. Whatever is going on in your life, it is well with my soul. Father God, we pray that truly we would know and understand the reality of that, that truth. Help us, Lord. Help us to trust you with our whole hearts. Let us leave it all here. All the wrong thoughts, the wrong desires, the wrong pursuits. You've given it all for us. How can we not give our all for you? Help us, Lord. For apart from you, we can do nothing. But we can do all things through you who strengthens us. In Jesus' name.